Cobra!
This conversation is an excuse for
Cobra!
A couple of friends to get together and
Cobra!
Okay, wait.
Cobra!
Oh.
Cobra!
All right, it's Cobra Convergence Month, and it's taking over our conversation.
Cobra!
There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. Cobra Convergence has spread far and wide. This is the Order of Cobra Convergence Battle.
Cobra!
So we're back again for Cobra Convergence. This is Cobra Convergence 7. If you've been following along, you've had 16 days of content that is intended to celebrate Cobra. This year's theme is all about the spies and the espionage, the saboteurs, the crawling through the dark and infiltrating G.I. Joe side of Cobra. You know, when we sat down, we both struggled with Cobra doesn't have a lot of Agent Chuckles. It has Zartan, not a lot of infiltrate the base. In the cartoon, of course, you know, we had Zarana and the Baroness, but we didn't want to jump into the ones that we thought everybody would take a crack at. Because of our eras, you had the time, the inclination, and I guess the craziness to deep dive into Kavanaugh's books, looking for the middle years, the spy troops side of Cobra.
And spoiler alert, they don't really exist. The spy side of spy troops is primarily G.I. Joe infiltrating Cobra, with the exception of the obvious bonk you on the head, Zartan, who has always been that guy. So that wasn't a new concept in the middle years.
Did they do anything with Zarana or the Baroness or Xandar in the middle years in terms of that Zartan-y master of disguise thing, since it was so prevalent in both the comic books and the cartoons?
I don't think so.
Yeah, the middle years is such a mind gap for me.
It's also difficult because there was a metric ton of releases. That is a thick book. That is a ton of figures, and it's a lot of ground to cover. I mean, they introduced, you know, Agent Faces, who was G.I. Joe Zartan, I guess. I don't know. You know, I have not read anything in that era of comics. I don't know if he's in the comics, period. I don't know. All I know is there was a figure called Agent Faces, and he kind of came with, like, Zartan-style face masks.
Okay.
But again, he's on Team Joe.
Sure.
We're trying to talk about Team Cobra.
All right. So let's talk about Team Cobra then. You know, I look at Cobra, and Cobra comes in two flavors. The troops that are the zealots, they're the ones that bought in, believed the hype, the fear-mongering, and the propaganda of Cobra Commander, the used car salesman, demagogue, rabble-rouser.
The everyman.
The everyman. And then there's the top line, all the named characters. And a lot of the named characters aren't technically Cobra. They're hired by Cobra. And I love that. I love that. You know, Zartan is a dreadnought. He's not Cobra, but he's hired by Cobra. He works for Cobra. You're not going to catch him on the Joe payroll. Destro's the same way. Destro is so in-house with Cobra that Scrap Iron has a Cobra symbol on him. Which, don't get me wrong, I've worn a client's jacket at a client's office before. I get how that game works. In thinking about this, Firefly is the perfect conversation for this, because even as Filecart says, Cobra Commander doesn't know much about this guy. He is an infiltrator, a saboteur. He's masked. He's mysterious. He's paid by Cobra. Is he going to die for Cobra? Probably not. He's not one of the troops, but he is the dude that will take the cash. And he will infiltrate a Joe base. He will infiltrate the hangar bays, the vehicle depots, set his explosives and everything else. So I thought he would be a fun conversation.
And he's also the only of the mainstays in the Cobra side that is unidentifiable. Major Blood has a robotic arm, an eye patch. Destro has a chrome head. Zartan is Zartan. I mean, obviously, when he's cloaked, you don't know who he is. But, like, Firefly could take off his balaclava and vanish. You know, it's been...
Even in the comics, with him being part of the ninja clan, he was the faceless master and no one could remember what he looked like. So yes, I didn't even think about that. You're dead on here.
And I mean, with Scrap Iron, he has been retconned to have scars. In the modern 25th, he had scars all over his face. Obviously classified, his face looks like it's half blown off. We can just assume in the vintage.
In Renegades, we see the missile explode near the helicopter.
I mean, and to be fair, the lower portion of his face has always been exposed.
The Baroness, even though we haven't seen it represented in the toy, you know, in the comic, she started with one look and had plastic surgery and had a different look, but she's always been unmasked. Zarana, when she was becoming a higher up at Cobra, she was in a business suit, but still her face was unmasked, even though in the cartoon, she was absolutely an espionage agent. I had never considered this angle. So I like where you're going. Wow. Okay.
I mean, and then like his specialty is, you know, he's not technically a spy, although he could be. He's a character that has so much, there's so much room for interpretation for what you want to do with Firefly while still giving us like strong training wheels. Like there's a line, there's a guideline for Firefly, but there's so much that you can do.
Absolutely. Looking at his file card, the original 84 file card, his specialty was sabotage, demolitions, and terror, which is genius. You know, his backpack came filled with tools, and we think about those tools a lot in terms of setting explosives. But one of the things that is on his file card that attracted me to the idea of Cobra Convergence 7 being about infiltration and espionage, he always places his charges in the one place that affords maximum damage. The outside of a building is not maximum damage. He is getting in. He is infiltrating. So there is no real reason why he couldn't also be an information broker or work with someone that the information comes through them instead of him to keep his hands, I wouldn't say clean, but...
It's also, you know, the angle I pitched where he goes into, quote unquote, work, looking like anybody.
Yes.
Puts on his gray fatigues with his mask and then he's gone.
Absolutely. He could easily show up as a member of the motor pool, the chaplain's motor pool, and just he's a dude in green fatigues.
From a toy perspective, in the 25th, a couple of his versions came with this incredible backpack that had a built-in stand, so you could stand the backpack up, open the doors of the backpack, because it was like a, would be probably like a hard shell case. And there was removable bits. There was like a pair of Leatherman pliers. There was like a little bundle of, I'm assuming, explosives. There's like a little gas can that has been changed to other various things when these items were reused. But when I first got that version of Firefly, that backpack alone just set off all these ideas in my head of what you could do with this figure in terms of setting the bombs. And as the evolution grew, you know, we eventually got my favorite modern era Firefly is from a 3-pack from Retaliation. The figure had removable bombs, like little like bomb bundles that they clipped to his secondary and you could pull them off.
Were those the little red circle discs with the four prongs on it that came with like the Elite Horsemen and a bunch of others?
No, these are actually little sculpted bombs that look like they have like a timer on them. They almost look like little TNT. They kind of look like pipe bombs or like...
Which makes complete sense when even in the cartoon movie, that's what they're setting up against.
Yeah.
They're using those sorts of things with a timer attached, which I know like in today's era, that's a bit outdated and goofy, but it fits well for a kid's definition of a bomb.
And it translates better in a toy because if... You know, in a movie, when they put the little, or, you know, Star Wars is obviously future, but when they put the little puck explosives.
Yes.
Like, those look great in a movie, but in even a 4-inch or even a 6-inch toy, a little round puck is not, you know. Now, if you went into the 12-inch range, when you can actually have the size to put some definition in, you might have a little bit more room to play. But, you know, as a kid, if he came with a hockey puck, I probably wouldn't have been that excited.
Yes. From a toyetic perspective, that is perfect. Even in our classified Firefly, he came with the same sort of bundle of sticks, which I love. because it is toyetic. It screams explosives. My storyline isn't he crawled through the ductwork to lay TNT, but it visually screams this is what it is. And so I love that kind of toy. The 6-inch also came with a drone, and we've heard that the next version will even have like a little remote control vehicle. So even with the stick of dynamite bundle that is outdated but screams explosives from a toy perspective, we also have the modern technology in his hands also. From a 4-inch perspective, did they ever give him like a drone or a remote car or anything that said hyper technology? Or did they always stick with more of the like toyetic Gold Rush explosives?
Yes, they gave him a Hiss drone. There was the Ultimates version within the Retaliation toy line is an incredible, incredible Firefly with a high collar jacket. And he comes with this Hiss tank, a mini Hiss tank that looks a lot like the Pursuit of Cobra era pop-up Hiss tank. And it's a really cool accessory. I like it. I have bought a lot of the Ultimate Firefly because it's an amazing base body. I think the drones are really cool. It's not quite as like infiltrating drone as what we're getting now because it's literally a mini Hiss tank.
That's kind of cool though.
Oh, it's awesome. It is an incredible accessory, and it's an incredible. I like the idea of him having 4 or 5 of them at his disposal. It has a giant spring-loaded missile that sticks out the front that I don't put in there when I use it. But it's... He has a drone, but it's not quite like... I mean, it's big. It's not huge, but it's big. And if you... You couldn't sneak that into, like, the pit. Where sure. if you sent, you know, an RC car, you know, a military-grade RC car through the ductwork, you can make it. But if you send in this Hiss tank drone that's sizable, you're not sneaking that through the door. So we have a soft yes.
One of my favorite Fireflies was the Renegades version. I loved the look of him. Now, that long coat restricted the legs, which is always a problem, but the look of him was very cool. I don't know that also screams Infiltrator. For Infiltrator, I hearken back to his first version because it is just a camouflage jumper or BDUs or whatever, and a balaclava. All of that can be taken off. You can throw a coat over it.
My favorite version of the modern era figure is the one-to-one carry forward. So the version I talked about with the bomb bundles is V1, head to toe.
You know, I normally am the one screaming, don't do one-to-ones. And I absolutely love the version 1 classified Firefly.
The version 1 classified Firefly, if you are a Joe fan, there's no confusion on who that is.
Correct. 100%.
There should be absolutely no way, if you're a Joe fan, that you see that figure and you're not like, well, that's clearly Firefly. I didn't need to read the package. Like, gray camouflage, you know, like everything. I also like that figure. I think... That was one of the stronger early representations in Classified. I feel like that figure kind of won over some people. I, you know, we've talked about it. I don't need to retread it. We both like the early Classified stuff for what it is.
Coming back to one of these ideas that you had when we were in the discovery part of tonight's discussion, we were talking about some of the what could have beens in that middle years.
Before we get too lost, I have one more shout to throw in on the topic of Firefly being the Infiltrator is, you know, the artwork for the Night Landing Raft is a pretty strong homage, in my opinion, to the 12-inch Adventure Team Invasion of Spy Island.
Which we just talked about that with Steve.
Yes.
And he is doing something with Spy Island for his Kentuckiana exclusive. So this is great timing, I guess. Yes, it is. It's a huge call to that. All of the equipment that comes in it compared to the equipment that comes with the Spy Island stuff. Yeah, that's great. That's a great call. That's a great catch.
The inspiration alone from just the artwork It's nighttime, obviously, night landing raft. Firefly's in the raft by himself.
He's a saboteur, which also makes him an infiltrator.
He's kind of the spy we never had.
Absolutely. Now, have you messed with the 3-0 Firefly at all?
I fell off the 3-0.
I know you didn't like the weapons with Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes.
And that was also kind of in my, like, I really need to get under control of what I'm buying era, because, I mean, spoiler alert, I just got whacked for two waves of Classified. I'm hurting.
So I bring up that version of Firefly because as we talk about, like, say, the Night Landing and all the gear that came in the Night Landing, right? There's a knife and a shovel and a radio. There's a couple weapons. It's a great small box package from back then. It pairs with him so incredibly well. And the 3-0 Firefly comes with a small submachine gun. He has grenades or bombs that you can put on his belt. He comes with like a green glowy Rise of Cobra green canister bomb, the bundle of dynamite. He has the night vision goggles, and he has two different backpacks, one that is a callback to 1984 and one that's a little more modern and futuristic. So holy crap, that Night Landing, that's a huge miss for me because I love 12-inch. So that's a great catch on your end. When you think about the Night Landing or all the gear that, like, say, 3-0 comes with, or some of the 4-inch that you've messed with, or even the 6-inch Firefly we have and the 6-inch Firefly that has been announced, you know, where do you go story-wise? What have you been putting together for this?
The modern Night Landing, or Night Raft, as it was renamed in the 50th, came with an extra footlocker filled with gear. Absolutely filled with gear.
Was that the blue one or the black one?
They're both the same. They both came with the same footlocker loaded with equipment. I have always built my version of Firefly mentally off of the gear. Like, I built my own jungle colorway Firefly, and he has a backpack that opens up with all the gizmos and gadgets in it. I tend to, as much as I try not to, I tend to overload a lot of the figures I make with equipment that they can't necessarily carry, but, like, it's all in their bag so that whatever I want to do with it, it's all there. And Firefly, for me, has definitely always been like a gear-heavy character. And I've always loved the idea of writing a storyline for a Dio story that's based around Firefly in the Night Landing, because it's such a... So many action movies feature that raft.
Do you have the 1985 Cobra Night Landing?
I actually do have an original. It has the motor, the oars. It doesn't have the gun. But I have a handful of the modern, which is exactly the same.
Well, I mean, listen, if you have the 85, welcome to O-Ring.
Oh, gee, thanks.
Do you have the modern versions also?
Yeah, I have a handful. I wish I bought more because that set that came with the Vamp Mark II, Flint, and the Eel, and the Night Landing, at one point those hit a $20 clearance at Toys R Us.
Wow.
That is so much bang for your buck. I mean, that footlocker alone is worth $20 for the amount of equipment that it comes with. I have a good amount. I a minimum of 5. I think I have more than that. I truly can't remember. But yeah, I love, again, like that. There's so many awesome action movies feature this exact raft. And so it's always a plot point. It's always, whether it's good guys, bad guys, it doesn't matter. It's like the perfect, we're infiltrating the island vehicle.
So we need one for Classified because we have Danger in the Docks. We have one for 12-inch. We have one from 1985 for O-Ring. We have one from whatever year the Night Raft came out.
2014, I think. I don't know.
Okay, 2014. So, I mean, that's a decade old.
Oof.
So now we need one for Classified.
You know, I do think that could easily be a figure and vehicle set for the $39.99 price point.
One of the, just replace the motorcycle with a raft, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's less components than a functioning motorcycle.
Not once you start putting a nice engine on it, but...
True.
But yeah, I agree. I would adore a Night Landing or Night Raft. in the classified realm, especially with how great that version 1 Firefly is, and if we're getting another Firefly, wow, I would be all in.
I do wish that to step over to the G.I. Joe element, you know, Chuckles was leaked and rumored and whatever, and we, you know, it was leaked that he was going to be a SDCC exclusive, and he comes with some amazing gear. He comes with a lot of fun stuff. I just wish he came with more spy stuff, because if he came with more spy stuff, I could have easily taken that spy stuff and put it with the Firefly.
The thing about the San Diego Comic-Con Chuckles is it looks like it's built off of both the comic book and the movie Chuckles, not the card art or the file card Chuckles. The face sculpt looks dead like the cartoon or the comic book. In both, he was a big, thick meathead. He wasn't an infiltrator. He was a CIA kind of goony dude, you know, throwing people and shit around. And so this feels like that. And I love this Chuckles coming out because of that. However, since the comic book and since the cartoon movie, we got that Cobra storyline with an infiltrator Chuckles, a real behind the lines Chuckles. And I've talked about, you know, in my own childhood, Chuckles was always the guy making friends with Cobra and opening the door from the inside. Because I had Chuckles before I had the movie, so I didn't know he was a Chuck a Havoc missile kind of guy. and I know this isn't a San Diego Comic-Con or even a classified conversation, but I like that Chuckles for what it is. It's just not the Chuckles in my head, because the Chuckles in my head is at the bar, buying drinks, you know, schmoozing, talking, the every guy's guy. And that Chuckles is the movie or the comic book, thick, no neck, beefy meathead. Who throws a missile. Or throws a desk, you know, and threatens a senator.
Is it Chuckles? And then we'll shift back to Cobra after this, but am I crazy? I mean, doesn't he, like, help start the Eagle Hawk or the Tomahawk?
100% he does, yes.
You know, again, we'll get back to Cobra, but, like, everybody talks about him throwing the Havoc missile because, yes, that is insane, but, like, helping manually spin start a helicopter is... There's nothing to shake a stick at either.
My man is multifaceted. I don't know why you're trying to put him in a box. Well, all he can do is throw a missile. But yeah, he can kickstart a helicopter. Sure, why not? Yeah, but I love Chuckles because of my childhood, my thoughts about him based on the file card, and then, you know, obviously the Cobra comic book where he did the damn thing all the way to Cobra Commander. That Chuckles is so prevalent in our minds today that this Chuckles, whatever. Taking that back to Firefly, this is the same thing I did with Firefly as a kid. You know, I got Firefly taken away from me and fishing wire taken away from me because I booby-trapped my house. And Firefly was the impetus of this, you know? My mom's coming through trying to, like, walk through the kitchen and the fishing line is pulling a chair and it hits her in the leg. She never tripped, but, like, it jerked furniture around and she was like, what the hell's going on? Because Firefly was the man on the inside, putting booby traps, laying problems. Problems that explode, but problems. He can't do that from outside.
His card art is so menacing.
Oh, his card art is gorgeous.
Like, looking back, like, because, you know, and building off of what we're talking about, it's like, you know, how long did he spend in the pit before he did the outfit change, blew up 15 vamps, and that's him looking back like, see it.
And that's why, like, I love where you started this conversation of, this is a dude that'll take his mask off because no one knows what he looks like.
Yeah, and then, you know, you said with the Ninja Clan element, like, he's the faceless master. So it's like...
You know, and most of us get rid of that part of Firefly, and I'm happy to get rid of that part of Firefly, but even then... This motherfucker was such an infiltrator that he infiltrated ninjas. Like, we all put Saboteur, right? That's on his file card. Sabotage, demolitions, and terror is his main military specialty. But clearly he's an infiltrator. He infiltrated ninjas. He infiltrated everything.
Was he drawn in the comics? Was he Asian?
No one ever really knows.
Okay.
Because all you ever really see are his eyebrows. Now, no, he was not given, like, stereotypical Asian eyes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just like his card art, he just looks like generic white dude with mean eyebrows. And I think that fits even better because a generic white dude on an army base blends in.
Well, that's what my whole point was, especially if he is just like a, for lack of better terms, if he's just your white everyman.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, like, you know, the classified version had a scar. I believe the actor who played him, they put scars on his face in Retaliation. Like, obviously, that then becomes a little bit more of an identifier, but...
But I scrub all that.
Classically speaking, yeah, I was going to say, classically speaking, the O-ring figure, which I do own, does not have a scar.
You're an O-ring man. Stop denying it. Right here, right now, I need you to dedicate your life. Have you heard the word of O-ring? But yes, I scrub all of that kind of stuff because he should be. He's not too pretty. He's not too ugly. He's not too tall. He's not too short. He is average in every way physically because what he does is so beyond average.
I mean, I used the unmasked Retaliation Firefly head. Like, I plucked that and put it on a different character. That is not... In my world, there is no faced Firefly. In my, like...
Is there a figure with a face?
Yes, there's one.
Oh.
Firefly from the movie line, from the Retaliation movie line. He comes with a sled, and it comes with the actor's likeness.
Well, see, that's great for when you want to start building... Fireflies that are in a military uniform or in a suit so that he can infiltrate in your photos and your storylines.
Except for the scars.
Well, we just scrub that, right? Like,
well, you can't scrub the sculpted in scars off the head sculpt.
Sure. That's true. You know, going back to something that we talked about early on, when we sat down to discuss Cobra Convergence, some of the misses or what could have been, one of the things you had mentioned was, going back to the movie that everyone loved, Zartan becoming the president of the United States and having that not be represented as a figure. Now, you could build these sort of things out, right? Like, we can take a suited body, put Zartan's head on it, and then beside him have another suited body with Firefly's face on it. Now, I don't think Firefly would ever unmask himself to Zartan or to anyone, but he's unmasked himself to everyone anonymously.
I agree. I think that, I mean, like, if you go to the original source material, Cobra Commander doesn't know shit about Firefly. So if Cobra Commander doesn't know shit about Firefly, that means nobody else in the organization has any idea about Firefly.
Correct.
And I like that. That's the mystique that I like. That is the guy that, you know, if you wanted to get truly... berserker crazy, you could have the version where he's a secret G.I. Joe infiltrating Cobra. I mean, that's not my storyline, but I'm saying truly, nobody knows who he is, what he is, what he does.
The more we think about this and we talk about, say, the night landing, now I also want a version of Firefly in a wetsuit with explosives that work underwater. I don't know if you just saw, it's on Instagram, Ronnie's.
Yes.
He had a picture of...
wetsuit underneath a Cobra Moray.
Yes.
That photo is... it's two photos that are put together so perfectly.
Yes.
It's... His photography is... Yeah, I'm struggling here because it's like I followed him for years before you were introduced to him and said his name.
And we got to meet him at Joe Fest this year. Yes. Everything you're stammering about is exactly where I'm at, because that photo right there, I would not have tied mentally into Firefly in a wetsuit until you brought up the night landing. We continue to build on each other here, where Firefly could be anywhere. You can put him in the desert, the winter, the water. You can put him anywhere because he is any man until he starts to get down, and then there's no man like him.
The character of Firefly would have been perfect for the 12-inch line.
Yeah.
Because you can change his uniforms, change his equipment. You can't quite do that in the O-ring and the 4-inch line without, you know, buying a mass amount of figures, scuba figures, whatever. I mean, it's very doable. It's somewhat easy.
In a couple of weeks, when we're at Kentuckiana, we can sit down and talk to Cotswold, Greg Brown, or we could talk to Ace or Steve or Chuck or any of the 12-inch guys we know and say, hey, how would you put this together? Maybe it's just a generic G.I. Joe and you throw a balaclava on him.
the picture got posted for the show's exclusive, and if you threw a mask on it, that's Night Ops Firefly.
I really appreciate that Hooded Cobra Commander put together this whole idea of Cobra Convergence because, you know, we kind of go episode by episode, talk about things that are relevant or prescient, things we're doing, but we never take the time to focus in on a theme. And this gives us that opportunity. This isn't our first time being included in and participating in Cobra Convergence. And every time we do it, we have a lot of fun. And this conversation, I don't know if it's going anywhere like grand, but for me, like it's really sparking a lot of ideas, a lot of fun play patterns. And I want some really crazy toyetic Firefly stuff now at any scale you want to give it to me. 6-inch, 4-inch, 12-inch, O-ring. I don't even give a shit. Give it to me at mass scale and give me a mask Firefly. This man is the every dude who gets in and does demolitions, sabotage, and terror. And I love it. I really appreciate being attached to Cobra Convergence again this year. So thank you, Hooded Cobra Commander. I know a lot of our podcast peers have been throwing in this month. And if you're a YouTube person, there's a ton of YouTubes. There are also some toy photographers and some blogs coming up this year. So remember, this year's Cobra Convergence theme is infiltration and espionage. It covers the secret agents of Cobra. And after our conversation, I don't know if there's anybody like Firefly. And he may not bleed Cobra, but he wears the patch and he takes the money in his unmarked Swiss bank account. And remember, he always takes money in advance, he makes no guarantees, and he gives no refunds. Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us.
This has been the Order of Battle.